चाहे जितनी दूर हो मंजिल या अनजाने रास्ते, हर फिक्र को छोड़ दे पीछे, कह रही है जिंदगी
जी ले सरा, जी ले आजा सरा।
जिंदगी के हर सफर में आपका हम सफर, फोर्स ट्रैवलर, सेलिब्रेट एवरी जर्नी।
Welcome to Truth Be Told. Today I have a very special guest. I have Mr. Kumar Ketkar. Mr. Ketkar is not only a very distinguished journalist and a celebrated editor, you are one person who speaks your mind out. And no matter what, you speak your mind out. Let's have a conversation with Mr. Kumar Ketkar.
Yeah, I'm flattered. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the show, sir. Sir, I'm going to get to the question straight.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of confident today to talk to you because I know that you are a huge supporter of freedom of expression and freedom of speech. So I'm going to ask you questions, which I think is... Sir, they say that your writings are biased and you promote one thought, one political ideology and one party. How true is that?
Well, I don't support one political party. And I don't support one particular individual either. However, I support a kind of worldview that you can call ideology. But that ideology is extremely flexible because it doesn't concern India, it doesn't concern Hindus or Christians, it doesn't concern Indian subcontinent. Ideology or worldview by definition is global. I do not belong to party point of view. I did not have bias to a party. I did not have bias towards a party leader. I had bias towards the worldview. And the worldview, to put it extremely simply, is the world must be democratic, world must be peaceful, world must be liberal, world must respect freedom of expression, and world must respect human beings as human beings, irrespective of their nationhood or religion. That is a simple worldview. If somebody calls me biased for that, I'm happy.
They say that you have been close to Congress. You have been close to Congress thoughts, Congress ideologies. Would you deny it?
I will not deny it because I consider myself as a Nehruvian, or you can say Gandhian and Nehruvian. Now, Gandhi and Nehru both belong to Congress. So if that happens, that doesn't mean that I support what people call dynasty, the everything that the Nehru family does. Not like that. I was opposed Sonia Gandhi's political line. I opposed sometimes Rahul's political line on public platform. That's not the question. But if Nehruvian line, because Nehruvian worldview matches with my worldview, or Gandhian worldview matches by and large with worldview. Let us take this point only 1 minute further.
Please.
Gandhi and Nehru did not agree with each other on every issue. In fact, Nehru has written extensively in autobiography how he differed from Gandhi. Gandhi has written, Pandit ji doesn't agree with me, Jawahar used to say. Jawahar doesn't agree with me on many issues. And yet, when it came, Mahatma Gandhi said, Jawaharlal will be my heir apparent.
Correct.
Now why? Because they shared a certain humanitarian angle. Compassion towards the world, liberal, progress, scientific temper towards the world. That was Nehru's line and that was Gandhi's line. And that matched, and therefore Gandhi endorsed Jawaharlal's leadership. I think that is a view I still endorse. I have not found that Gandhism quote Nehruism, Gandhi-Nehru, that Gandhi-Nehru, not Sonia and Rahul in this case, that Gandhi-Nehru worldview, I think has proved to be, frankly speaking, even more valid than that of Lenin and Mao Tse-Tung, whom I once supported.
Correct.
So I think if people accuse me of being a quote-unquote supporter of Congress, I am supporter of that particular line of thinking, that particular worldview. The nearest party that comes closer to that worldview, being liberal, democratic, secular and tolerant, is Congress.
I want to spend a little more time in Congress, but that will be a little later in the program. But I can't resist myself from asking you one question. Sir, do you then agree that Congress is a dynastic party?
I don't agree Congress is a dynastic party. But Congress can be accused of being a dynastic party. Why? Because it has been Unfortunately for them, or fortunately for India, it has been a succession of leadership. Fortunately, that succession has been endorsed by the people. I'll just tell you, most people don't understand. From 1989 till today, 2017, 17 plus 10 plus 1, 28 years, there is not a single Nehru family member in any ministry. Anywhere, state or center, no Nehru Gandhi family is a minister.
Sir, we'll hold that thought because I have a special section on Congress. You may not promote a particular ideology or a party, but you're against a particular ideology
and
a party. Very strongly against a particular ideology and a party, and you've been against right from the day one. Tell me a little bit about that.
I am against all communal politics, all communal parties, all communal worldview, all chauvinistic and fanatic worldview. What the RSS I have seen from my school days trying to do is to force the whole community, whole country into particular straitjacketed point of view. That is dangerous. That is dangerous because it closes the mind. And closing of the mind is most harmful to civilization. And closing of the mind, if the minds are closed, our job is to open that. That doesn't mean I'm supporting Muslim communalism. I'm as much opposed to Muslim straitjacketing. Now, in entire RSS discourse, you will not find Darwin, you will not find Einstein, you will not find Freud, you will not find Marx, you will not find any of these great thinkers who have shaped the whole humanity and civilization. So RSS, according to me, narrows the very concept of not only idea of India, but idea of the world.
Sir, but then what is your opinion about surrogate ideologies like Samajwadi Party, for instance? They are not a Muslim outfit, nor are they Hindu outfit, but what they do is very communal.
I mean, what is accused is communal. Communist Party is not accused even of that, like Samajwadi Party is accused.
Correct.
But Samajwadi Party was doing electoral politics when they were getting accused as communal. And I will not endorse that by even...
Correct. My only submission to you was, sir, electoral politics and using communalism to electoral politics, in my mind, is worse than using communalism and saying that, look, I'm communal.
No. That's not correct. Because in this particular sense, using communal politics is opportunistic and hypocrite, but at least for the sake of opportunism and hypocrite, they have to take a stand that they stand for brotherhood. That's a lie.
Correct.
That's an electoral lie.
Correct.
But for that electoral lie, they have to take a message to the people that we are protecting minorities. We are not attacking minorities. At least for that opportunistic reason, they have to say that. On the other hand, the RSS supporters or Hindu fanatics do not want to even endorse that approach. And that is more dangerous because then you are coming upfront by dividing the society. Samajwadi Party does not come upfront to divide the society. What they do helps division of society.
Therefore, if I may say that you are saying or you are endorsing the fact that political communal lie is better than communal truth. Will I be right saying this?
No. I am not saying lie. Political communal
hypocrisy.
Lie.
Hypocrisy.
No, I'll tell you. I'll clarify. Political communal lie is accusing them of consciously promoting division of society. Consciously promoting division of society by consciously lying to the people. People are not fools. What they are trying to do is to say that, look, in this part of the world, for instance, in UP, the percentage of Muslims ranges between 19 to 29 to 30%. If somebody says, I want to protect minorities, so I will be rather soft on them. In that softness, also there is communalism. But because there is a bigger threat, that doesn't mean that is not a threat. But because there is a bigger threat of Hindutva domination and thereby isolating minorities so completely that their life will become vulnerable. So at that point of time, if somebody says, I am soft on them, I won't call it a lie. I will call it hypocritical in terms of philosophy of politics or electoral politics. But I will not condemn it as harshly as I would condemn Hindu communalism because it is the majority party. Those who represent majority have to be tolerant. those who are actually in majority in terms of religion or anything have to be considerate towards minorities. If they become communal, it is inevitable that minorities will become communal. Let us not forget, in 1915, Hindu Mahasabha was formed.
Yes.
1915.
Yes.
In 1925, RSS was formed. And both of them declared their intention of converting India into a Hindu nation. Now, there were so many minorities and Muslims. Ironically, many people condemned Lokmanya Tilak. But it was Lokmanya Tilak in Lucknow Pact. After Lucknow Pact said, we have to take along Muslims with us. And for that, we have to give special concessions to Muslims. In fact, at that point of time, later on, RSS issued a pamphlet saying that the first communal appeasement was done, Muslim communal appeasement was done by Lokmanya Tilak.
Sir, when you are talking about Hindu appeasement.
Hindu appeasement.
Hindu, okay, great. So then Hindutva that is happening currently. Do you think it is the reaction to a lot of Muslim appeasement and minority appeasement that has happened over the last 60 years? I will rephrase the question. Do you think that there were minority appeasement that happened during the last 70 years of our...
I would not call it minority appeasement. I would call it understanding, perhaps outlandishly, or rather probing it too much by supporting Muslims, where they could have easily handled it slightly better, including Congress. But that has happened only very recently. Earlier it was not. In Nehru's time, the question didn't arise.
Correct.
Tell me, between 1947 and 1964, Nehru died. The minority community supported him is a different matter. But the Hindu lords were not condemning Nehru of appeasement as much as they did after Shahbano case. So the question of Muslim appeasement started appearing upfront in politics was after the Shahbano verdict was reversed during Rajiv Gandhi's time.
Yes.
So 70 years of Muslim appeasement has not brought about Hinduism, Hindu backlash. You know, majority of the Hindus are quite, according to me, tolerant and liberal. That is why even in the heyday of Modi campaign, only 31% of the people have voted Modi. They have not voted BJP, they have voted Modi. 31%, which means 69% of the people have not voted Modi. And if entire Hindu community was so communal or Hindu appeasement supporter, then in Delhi, 67-3, maybe that is past, but only 2 years ago, AAP gained 67 seats out of 70. And only BJP got 3% and I was present. Modi's campaign was super hyper campaign. Every single holding was dominated by Modi. And yet, he lost. He lost miserably. The same thing happened in Bihar. Now, if all Hindus were supporting the Hindu appeasement policy, or if they were not liberal, this would not happen. So basically, Hindu psyche is governed by diverse philosophies. There are so many creeds, so many sects within Hindu.
So, sir, are you then saying that Modi votes is the barometer of Hindutva?
Up to a point. Because all 31% people who voted Modi are not necessarily Hindutva types. They were fed up with so many other things.
Correct.
Like partly inaction of the Congress, partly indifference of the Congress. Some people say corruption in the Congress. And at that time, people thought that somebody who is hard on Pakistan, hard on Muslim communalism should be there. They were also fed up with the fatigued sort of with the establishment. So they voted. That doesn't mean that 31% people are Hindutva types.
Okay.
Many people wanted change. Many people wanted right-wing economic change. That's why those who supported Modi for right-wing economic policies are now disillusioned. Because they feel we voted you for right-wing economic policies. Modi has not done any economic reform after he came to power. And the only economic reform he claims he made was demonetization, which is a disaster. Modi promised anti-Islamic leadership. But after Modi came to power in the last 3 years, the most front page issue is cow slaughter. Just imagine, Sujit, in 1947, as many as 10 million people were affected by the partition riots. Over 1 million people were killed only in some parts of Punjab, and parts of Punjab which is with Pakistan now. So much of Hindu-Muslim hatred, which did not come south as much as it came in north near Delhi and near Pakistan border. Despite that, the riots were in 1947. Our constitution is made in 1950. Despite experience of those riots, India accepted secular notion of India. The word secularism is formally introduced in 1976. But the entire constitution, if you read, it talks about religious diversity, cultural diversity, linguistic diversity, regional diversity. All that diversity must be taken into account, and so secular approach is mentioned in the constitution. So actually, if the fanaticism, Muslim fanaticism, was to encourage Hindu fanaticism, then the best time for that was after partition. But after partition, RSS did not grow, Jansangh did not grow, BJP took 2014 to fully come and 1998 for partly coming to power. Till that time, secularism has been the main frame of Indian politics. So if Muslim fanaticism was to encourage Hindu fanaticism, the best time was 1947. It did not happen, despite at that time Pakistan was formed and there were demands in the whole Indian subcontinent. Now India should become Hindustan. Everybody was saying, many people in the Congress are also of the same view that we should become Hindustan. Congress people, some of
them.
But ironically, what thought prevailed? The thought that was prevailed was Gandhi and Nehru thought that we are a global phenomenon. And Gandhiji is the only head of the state, Rashtrapita we call him, he's not head of the state, Rashtrapita we call him, was the only person of that stature who was not present in Delhi on the 15th August 1947. He was in Naukhali. And why was he in Naukhali? Because there was a Hindu community and Muslim community killing each other. He stood in between and said, kill me first and then kill each other. Now such kind of legacy we have. And Gandhiji used to say, I am proud Hindu. But what kind of Hindu? Ishwara Allah Tero Naam. That is Gandhi's Hinduism. And that Hinduism has impressed upon whole of Indian people. And that's why Gandhiji was unquestioned leader, because of his progressive Hinduism, if you want to use that term. And therefore, he was killed by Hindu, not by Muslim. Let us face it.
Sir, last question in this in this section. And I want to know your editorial view. Sir, how would you analyze Uttar Pradesh victory?
Uttar Pradesh victory.
Sorry. Just one more thing. I want to look at it from three perspectives. One is the fact that there was not a single Muslim candidate in BJP camp. Secondly, it was not that Akhilesh was doing that badly. He was doing a fairly decent job as far as the state is concerned. He was not that bad an administrator. And thirdly, the fact that BJP had lost Bihar.
Well, actually, the simple thing is, in BJP lost Bihar because there was Mahagathbandhan. So all the anti-BJP vote was consolidated by Lalu Prasad, Nitish Kumar, and most people forget, but that alliance was built by Rahul Gandhi. They were not on talking terms, but Rahul Gandhi brought them on talking terms. Mahagathbandhan was created and anti-BJP vote got consolidated. That did not happen in UP. Mayawati against Akhilesh, and Akhilesh and Mayawati against Ajit Singh. So there was a split in the vote. Even if you take percentage of vote at the end of the day, it was 39% vote that the BJP has got. Let us take NDA vote as up to 42%. But even then, 58% of the vote is against the BJP or NDA alliance. So which means that if all the parties come together, like they came together in Bihar, BJP would have lost. Point number one.
Sir, can I interrupt, sir? Sir, if BSP would have... Sir, the only party which is now outside of the realm was BSP.
And Ajit Singh's party.
Ajit Singh's party. But Ajit Singh's party had some 6%, 4%.
Whatever percent, but that influences the mahol.
Okay. So, continue.
So, if there was Mayawati, Ajit Singh, Akhilesh, Rahul together, there was no chance Modi would have won if they were really in Mahagathbandhan. So, that is point number one. That does not diminish the significance of Modi's or BJP's victory in UP. The most important point was Narendra Modi and Amit Shah communalized the entire electorate in the last almost 3 weeks, particularly in the last 2 weeks, by calling, these issues did not occur to people, Hindus as well as Muslims, like Smashan and Masjid and all that. They did not think, but they created. They created these situations. They lied also sometimes. They lied in the sense that they said, now, only Hindus are being denied the electricity. Only Muslims are given, which is not true. Akhilesh was actually popular because he had done a lot of work. But this kind of communal approach, as I said earlier, electorally communal approach was successful, will be successful if the opposition parties do not realize that their game is not only to divide the secular, so-called secular vote, but also to divide ultimately the Indian people, Indian communities on the lines of religion. And so this is the main reason. Fourth is, I cannot prove it, but the fourth is also equally important. Demonetization took place on November 8, 2016. Demonetization wiped out all the money that was collected by Mayawati and Akhilesh for the campaign. BJP top brass knew that demonetization was coming. Now there is enough evidence to show, enough evidence in public domain, enough evidence to show that BJP monitored the flow of money, cornered the money and used that money. I was there in Banaras. In Banaras, the BJP did not think that they will win all the seats, five and outer Banaras three. All the seats they won primarily because the use of money by BJP, the word is not even obscene. It was aggressively obscene. And I have seen that in my own eyes. But I will not put that because finally they have won. So we have to accept the victory. But despite all these four factors, their vote percentage is only 39%.
Sir, truth be told, sir, do you think a BJP victory in Uttar Pradesh, in your opinion, is it a good sign or is it a bad sign? I will tell you why am I asking you this question. I am asking you this question because somewhere down the line, they have been voted to power. The vote obviously has come from both communities. They have come from Muslims as well as, they have come from Hindus as well as Muslims, because obviously only Hindu vote cannot make BJP win. Don't you think BJP will also follow the philosophy of brotherhood now? Because they have to govern at the end of the day. They can't just say that I am going to be the Hindu government and I am not bothered about Muslims. So ultimately, Muslims will come under the fold. Do you think that change will happen?
That change will happen only up to a point and not beyond, because the core ideology of the BJP is Hindutva. And therefore, they cannot...
Sir, we don't see that Hindutva in JNK.
Of course there.
Where did we see the Hindutva in JNK? JNK, that it is
there is so much Hindutva in JNK, the way they talk about Pandits and Jammu, and always... See, they condemned Mehbooba Mufti most. And they said that actually Islam is coming to Kashmir, which it must have.
But they are tied up with her now. They are alliance. They are running alliance,
that's what I'm saying. Correct. That's their problem. They are in a trap. Hmm. Now they have to, quote-unquote, appease Mehbooba Mufti. Now they have to, quote-unquote, appease the UP Muslims. And therefore, they have to, quote-unquote, appease the Muslims elsewhere. And by their nature, they cannot do it. So they will be in a contradiction. And in that contradiction, that trap, they are going to fall in 2019. They may win Gujarat. I don't know. They may even win Karnataka. I don't know. I'm not talking of that. But by 2019, Lok Sabha election, the game will be seen by the people. People cannot tolerate all this constantly. And even if they win 2019, which I don't think they will win, they may become the single largest party. But single largest party is not... Single largest party, Vajpayee was twice, 98 and 99. And single largest party... Forming an alliance, if they fall short of something like 60 to 80 or 100 seats, then it is end of Narendra Modi's rule, because he cannot handle coalition. In fact, in the RSS and in the BJP, they are already asking questions like, who after Modi? Why should they ask now? They should say, who after Modi question comes in 2024, because Modi himself thinks he'll be there for 10 more years. So 2029 will be the question of who after Modi. But in BJP and in RSS, have you noticed, for instance, Praveen Togadia was a partner of campaign between 2002 and 2012 or earlier with Narendra Modi. High tension communal campaign. High tension communal. Hum paanch unke pachis type of a campaign. Praveen Togadia and Narendra Modi were comrades in arms. Where is Praveen Togadia now? Praveen Togadia has been sidelined. Now, many people in the cabinet, many people in the BJP feel that Modi is not even governed by heightened Hindutva. He uses Hindutva for the power game. He uses Hindutva to power game. And therefore, they are unhappy because he is not democratic in his cabinet meetings. He is not democratic in the party. He runs the government with help of only Amit Shah. And therefore, that unhappiness within the BJP at the top as well as at Karyakarta level, at activist level, is going to have a boomerang. It is not necessary that where is the alternative leadership. People don't vote for only alternative leadership. VP Singh was not the alternate leader to Rajiv Gandhi. Devegowda was not the alternative leader to Narasimha Rao. Janata Party Morarji Desai was not the alternative leader to Indira Gandhi. But people have voted. People choose alternative accordingly as per they see. So I don't think just because there is no strong opposition, Modi stands to win and sweep 2019.
So your final verdict, sir, was BJP's victory in UP good for UP or bad for UP?
Bad for UP and bad for the country.
With this, we'll take a short break. The next section, I would like to know more of what Kumar Ketkar is and who Kumar Ketkar is. We'll catch you back.